Welcome into DC On Screen. This is episode 310, Legends of Tomorrow, 210, Legion of Doom is what we're talking about in this episode. This episode, we get to see things from the Legion of Doom's perspective, and the infighting is rampant. Dark and Merlin can't get any secrets out of film school. Rip, because there are none to be had. His brain has literally been reprogrammed. This failure annoys Eobard, who admonishes them as he would henchmen. Fed up with the sidekick treatment, Merlin and Dark trap Eobard in a vault and demand to be treated as equals. It works, because it turns out the watch Eobard has been looking at is telling him how long he has before the Black Racer shows up to snag his soul. After Eobard agrees to their demands, they use a similar trick to trap the Black Racer and make an escape. Having bought some time, the trio head back with the prize of Rip's safety deposit box, which is a memory disk. They use it to reprogram Rip again, this time making him an assassin. Meanwhile, Stein and Ray need help sciencing something, and Stein calls in the foremost expert he can think of, his daughter Lily. She's a big fan of the Wave Rider, even if Sarah is a little peeved she's been brought there. But she does, in fact, help Ray plug Gideon up to a 1,000-year-old amulet, which will hopefully help them find the rest of the Spear of Destiny before
the Legion
of Doom.
You're thinking about Rip, you thought about Spear. I get it. It's okay.
Unfortunately, Mick lets slip that she's an aberration, and Stein has to face the music on his feelings about having a daughter in Lily's past. Alrighty, so I think this show is still the weakest of the shows.
Yeah, we establish that every week, though.
But very cool. I just want to make it clear. But cool Damien intro. I like
the
Legion of
Doom.
I love the
My Name is Damien Dark thing, yeah.
I did, yeah. I love Damien rolling his eyes at Malcolm. Because I rolled my eyes at Malcolm and then Damien did it. And I went, all right.
Perfect. Damien had some great lines early on. Like, I hear 2016 is not my best year. Perfect.
Yeah.
The thing that all henchmen have in common is that they all end up dead.
That was always a good one. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Why would I wanted to know, why would Sarah set a course for 2017 when they left in 2016? It's just kind of weird. I know it's 2017 now, and they've got to keep going back to whatever our time is, but it's stupid. I hate it.
I mean, they just go to the present, whatever the hell the present actually is.
It's just something Star Trek did a lot, like the original series, especially, like, they did it on Voyager, I guess, too, but it was like, oh, well, I mean, we're going to go back to the past. I'm like, gee, I wonder what year they'll show up in.
Right.
Oh, look, it's 1996, because it's 1996.
Right. No, that is just a thing that in time travel shows you have to just deal with.
I know.
Present will always be the actual present, not like the present when they left. I mean, Sarah could go back a couple of years to where she wanted to be, and you know.
Yeah.
And it makes no sense in terms of physics. I don't think it makes any sense, but that's a discussion for an entirely different day.
Yeah. Jefferson is still the worst.
A little bit. he didn't even stand out to me, to be honest. I don't have any notes regarding him. I've just sort of accepted him as a thing.
He was just my least favorite thing in the episode, that's all.
That's often the case. Actually, though, my least favorite thing in the episode was Lily's reaction to the aberration news. It's not that you shouldn't think that's a big deal. I mean, I would think it was a big deal if it turned out I only existed because someone changed time. Which, to be fair, and let's be a little stonery here for a second, could have already happened and you wouldn't know it.
Yeah, like, I kind of feel like she acted a little weird about it. Like, she should have been like, hey, so, are we okay? Do you hate me?
Well, I just...
You didn't want me, or...
She addressed the idea that, like, he didn't ever want kids, which is, I guess, in the conversation that you're going to have, and when you find out that your dad didn't want kids, and it only happened because there was a time aberration, I feel like you should address the time aberration part more. But maybe, you know, maybe it's just part of the character. It's the scientist dinner was like, okay, time, whatever, fucking... What, you didn't want kids?
Yeah.
That's fine, but it just seemed like he's done nothing but treat her with respect and adoration since he's met her. Like, aside from those first few hours when he was getting used to the idea, he's obviously been very pro-Lily, so I just didn't quite understand where all the objections
and she has from. Yeah, she has all the memories of him being absolutely enthralled with having a daughter.
Yeah, and then he's suddenly strange, and that's a lot to cope with. It just seemed like it was... It just seemed like they focused on the wrong thing. I would have focused on the time part.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like if she was that analytical anyway, emotions aside, she'd be like, hey, so am I an aberration because you wanted me because you decided you needed kids or wanted kids or what? Like, what was...
Yeah.
Was it just an accident? Like, what? Let's talk about this before I start, like, getting angry.
It does seem like she would have, you know, talked it through before she felt things. But I don't know. We don't know Lily that well. Maybe that's how they're going to write her. Maybe that isn't as out of place as it felt at the time.
Yeah. I'm going to just go ahead and mention that it seemed like she had a lot of chemistry with Ray, and that would be a really cool thing.
It did. I think it'd be cute.
Best line of the entire episode. One thing I hate more about taking orders from him is being threatened by you. Luckily, I don't find you threatening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'd been so down on Merlin, like, oh, man, you're like the run of the litter, aren't you? That was the moment where he turned it around for me. And he does have a good plan with like trapping Reverse Flash. Like he is. I mean, he should be the bottom rung of this ladder. He's the least powerful, but he is the guy with the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm guessing Damien just doesn't have any magic powers here. Right?
Yeah, I think he hasn't found his thing yet, whatever that is.
His little totem.
Yeah, his little totem. That weird shaped. I don't even remember what animal that looked like. But I'm guessing this is pre him having powers. And by the way, actually the line that made me laugh in this episode was out of Merlin. They're talking about like how they're being treated like henchmen, and you know, film school rip sitting there tied up, like talking to them about how they're being treated like henchmen. And he turns and gestures to him, like even the hippie knows it.
Yeah,
that was the runner up for me was Stein. Of course, it's not whiskey; it's brandy. What do you take me for, a sailor?
That was great. That was great. I love that that Ray was drinking champagne Guggenheim.
Yeah, that was solid. Now, all right, you got a good plays with the vault. They used the vault well twice. First of all, that was a good trick trapping Ebard.
Mm-hmm.
Good plan, honestly. Like, just I have to applaud the writers on that one. Another great plan with getting is it Black Flash or Black Racer? Which one? Or is it both?
It's Black Flash.
Black Flash. Okay. So
yeah,
we've got.
It's different than Death of Black Racer.
Yeah. I was worried about that when yeah. All right. So we got Black Flash.
Black Flash doesn't have skis.
Not the Black Racer. I wonder if they just taken the skis out for a second. Anyway, good plan though with him too. I just thought they used the vault well, like in terms of like writing yourself out of a plot. I thought they did a great job of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the look on Eobard's face when he's so fucking scared of the Black Flash.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. All right, so I guess they've gotten Rip's brain. They've made alterations to it, and now he's going to be killing folks in 1776. Don't know what that's about, but I love Thawne this episode. I love that he's running away from his own non-existence. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's a great concept.
They brought in Black Racer.
We pointed out before that the watch.
I said Black Racer now. Black Flash.
Yeah. No, that's my fault. I wrote the recap for this one, and I put Black Racer in there instead of Black Flash. And like as you're reading it back,
I did.
I'm sorry. As you're reading it back, I was like, oh fuck. I wrote Black Racer, not Black Flash.
Black Flash, guys. So, Black Flash.
That's my bad. Take full responsibility.
All right.
But yeah.
I think that's all I've got for this episode.
That is. It's going to be neat to see like a third version of Arthur Darvill's acting.
Sure.
He's got the chops for it.
Sure.
Go watch Broadchurch, people, by the way.
Or Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Or several other things that he's in that I don't know about.
Anything he's in, probably. he's never disappointed me.
No, me either. Anyway, yeah. We are DC On Screen. You can find every episode at DCOnScreen.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher, Twitter, Facebook, DC On Screen. We're proud members of the Giant Size Team Up Network, GiantSizeTeamUp.com. Proud members of the Batman Podcast Network as well. We are coming right back with our review of Arrow 511 Second Chances. Until then, guys, keep some DC on your screen.